Here it is, 17:6. Thank you, Samsung. And neat. Smartphones have replaced my Bible software. I'm like, now you got Google's faster than my Bible software. That, and then I feel kind of guilty. I should be utilizing that Bible software instead of Google. And I go, man, it's neat. I got to witness to somebody in a second language because of these phones and these translations. I have a Spanish translation on my smartphone. There's a guy that I hired to come work at my house, and he's a believer. And I was going to lead him into speaking in tongues, but he's from a Baptist church. How do you do it? And I really felt like I was supposed to minister to him. That was part of me hiring him. How do you do this? So I handed him my smartphone. Actually, I went to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaks in tongues makes himself stronger. Here it is. And then I went to the Spanish translation. I let him read it, and I grabbed another Bible. I already read it. I said, what happens if you speak in tongues? And he reads it, and he goes, oh, now he has got to translate into English. He goes, if you speak in tongues, it's this. I go, no, that's not this word. I said, he goes, oh, it makes you, build you up. I go, that's right. And he goes, I've never read that before. I said, do you want to stay weak? And then he could understand it. And then he goes, we're not supposed to speak in tongues. And I went down here in the English, 1 Corinthians 15, 14, verse 5. Read it, that's what I wanted. Went to the Spanish, I handed it to him. I go, what's it say? He goes, I wish that all of you would speak in tongues. He keeps going, I go, stop. What was that first part? He goes, I wish that all of you speak in tongues. And he looks at that, and he's going, here's this Mexican guy. It turns out he was an illegal alien. I got to reprove him also. So you need to get, love your neighbor as yourself. You need to get legal, go back to Mexico. And afterwards. But then I went to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, in the English. So get a Spanish translation. And here's a highway worker. You can sit there and go read it, then chain and go, here you go. Come to prophesy. He went, now let him in speak in tongues. And then tongues of interpretation is incredible. But Deuteronomy, 17, verse 6. Esther Scout, please read.
At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses, shall he that is to die be put to death. Ye shall not be put to death at the mouth of one witness.
That's actually not the scripture that I wanted, but it is reiterating what I wanted. It says that if there's a dispute, you always say, how do you settle a dispute? By two or three witnesses. So if there's one rumor that comes out, he goes, you get two or three witnesses to confirm. And if you got two people that says we go left, and then one person says you go right, you're going to go, no, we're going to go left, you're not the one. Does that make sense? It's the same way with scriptures. Well, some person takes one scripture, and then you're going to go by two or three witnesses. Go right to Deuteronomy. Let's see two or three other witnesses. And then if you got 27 witnesses to their one, you can go right back to Deuteronomy and says you're not doing it right. How do you settle disputes? And who is the witness? You let Yahweh be his own witness. But that's real important. Turn to Hosea chapter 4. I believe it's 863.
What book?
Hosea.
It's right after the Daniel.
Like our national anthem. Hosea, can you see? But it was neat because even that guy that was working, I got to give him a prophecy. He told me even before he got started, he called me up and he said he's never had anything like that in his life. He called back to Mexico. He told his wife, and his wife said she perceived like I'm a man of Elohim. I'm not a man of Elohim in the scriptures as a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But it changed his wife's life. It changed his life. He came back and he wanted to know more. And so through the prophecy, I was able to lead him into speaking in tongues with the smartphone. And then after that, after I ministered to him, guess what else I was able to do? You either become a legal citizen or go back to Mexico. You can't keep doing what you're doing. But it changes everything from a stranger. He said, obviously, this guy cares about you. He's never going to forget his first prophecy ever. But Yahweh was able to do that. Wasn't it neat? Okay. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Yeah, it was funny to get to teach somebody the second language. That's not how it started. Yahweh was teaching me. I'm trying to teach this guy. I'm trying to find out why I'm hiring him with Yahweh's money. And then he's trying to read the English, and he's just butchering it. And actually, at least he has an excuse. I'll let other English Christians read it, and they butcher it. They know the language. And then, how am I going to do this? And then went right back to the Spanish. And it was like, perfect. So you can do the same thing with Swahili or Dutch or anything. You can be in an airport. Yahweh, Father, in Christ. Who am I going to witness to? They're going to say, you're somebody from Hollow. You go to Google. What language they speak? Download that translation. Be ready to go. Here's the scripture. You can start witnessing to them. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, this was, there's a phone number that my father stumbled on. Everybody in the United States needs to memorize this phone number. It's not just faith teachings. What he found was, it's a radio station that you can call on your cell phone. And it will tap you right into faith teachings almost all day long, no matter where you go. You don't have to have a radio station. You can have it in your car. You can be talking on the phone. Click it back over. So my dad did it. It changed my life again. Now I'm walking in my car. Here's Andrew Womack. Here's Charles Capps. Here's about faith, subduing the promises. And here's all the rest of these things. But it's 605-477-5254. We should send it to everybody. And somebody needs to be ministering to you, say, you start listening to that. Have you listened to that? No. Don't call me back until you listen to it a little bit. Take some medicine. Get some faith. Oh, I got to listen to this thing. I don't even know what it is. Just dial the phone number. Put it on speaker. It's not radio. It's not Christian songs. You're usually butchering it. God is in control or something like that. And here's his faith teaching. You could pick it out. This morning I was listening about the world that then was. Here's Charles Capps teaching that there was a flood before Adam and Eve. The word is tohu bahu. I wish he would have been endorsing the Roth. He showed it. Here's all his teachings. And it was just, it's fantastic. There's a phone number. But while I was listening to it, Keith Moore said, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And he said he used to teach his verse over and over and over again. 4, verse 6. Just the first part, stop at knowledge. Mom, would you read that?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because
my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so Donald LaPorte will have this. A lot of people, they'll put those quotes and they'll say for a lack of knowledge. And so you go out and you start teaching the word. You start teaching, orthodox is according to Yahweh. What's straighter than Yahweh? Not the doctrines of men. And you start teaching you to say, how many kings were there at Jesus Christ's birth?
None.
Very good. Trick question. So why do we believe three kings? We don't know why. Why does your church teach it? Is that straight? No. To teach something wrong? Well, it's not that important. Well, how many animals are on Noah's Ark? Okay. And they go into these things. Then how many magi were at Jesus Christ's birth?
None.
No. Yes, of course there are magi at Jesus Christ's birth.
Oh, yeah.
Or 2 years after, excuse me. How many? It doesn't say. There weren't three. There were no kings. And were they Gentiles? Doesn't say. So I was at church. I never thought about that. It was Todd Carter. These Gentile kings came. Who said that they're Gentiles? You ever heard of Jews being carried off to Babylon? Persia? In exile?
Daniel?
Yeah. As far as we know, these were Jews. Studying the scriptures, I heard, this was Daniel did with Babylon. It could have been, but these could have been Jews. And actually, it'd make a lot more sense if they were Jews. And if they weren't Jews, Yahweh would have pointed it out. So as far as we know, unless Yahweh gives a reason to believe this, then it's gotta be Jews. But he would say, they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. But then he would show people knowledge, for instance, faith. Here's what's available. Here's the said. What's the name of Jesus Christ, Father? Yahweh, it's right there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is that according to First Chronicles? It's Yahweh. And then and I'm going to be kind of picking on him, but then he would be confused when they wouldn't take it. You show them healing is here. You show them that prosperity is here. You show them that Yahweh's name is written more than any other name in the Bible. And you follow the God of the God of the Jews, right? What's his name? You can't even say his name, and you're a minister. If you say his name, you'll be ostracized. Why? And then you would think if you show that to them, you show them Ephesians 1:3 and 1:17. You say, does Jesus have a God? Would say, yeah, sure. But other people go, wait a minute, this is messing everything up. And if you show that to them, what's John 8:32 say? what will make you free? The truth. So you show them. You show them the truth. It says, "For lack of knowledge, my people will perish." And so his teaching was. So he was showing people truth, and they weren't following. And he did. Daniel realized his own error. He didn't finish reading the scripture. Go back now. Read Cable. Chapter 4, verse 6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge.
They rejected knowledge. It wasn't that they just needed no knowledge. There could be there's some people that don't have knowledge. They reject knowledge. Oh. And so here's Keith Moore going, for all the time I was wondering what in the world is going on. Then he finally went back and he went to read it again. He finished reading the scripture and he went, well, that makes a lot more sense. Why do they reject knowledge? I don't know. And then the moral of the thing is don't get hung up on it when people reject knowledge. Show them knowledge. If they reject it, it says it right here, they're destroyed. Okay? Truth will set you free. And Jesus Christ said that to the religious people. And they said, we've never been in bondage. He goes, you guys are living in chains. You're slaves. John 8:32 says that the truth will make you free. Turn to 1 John 2:16. So why would anybody reject knowledge? I wouldn't try to overanalyze it. If you try to understand why people make foolish decisions, don't try to overanalyze it, but it does help if you try to apply it to yourself. Why in the world would anybody do something so dumb? Okay, so let's just, what kind of dumb things am I doing? Then apply their, okay, I got this weakness. Well, maybe it could be like that, but don't overanalyze it. 1 John 2:16. This was neat because E.W. Bullinger points this out in the Garden of Eden, but he says, because of all of this, because all that is in the world, the coveting of the eyes, the coveting of the flesh, the coveting of the eyes, and the vain grandeur of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. He's pointing out, they want the left. Jesus Christ said, you're sowing seeds, you have the cares of the world, rocky ground, so we shouldn't be shocked when people don't accept it, but here's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. You also see in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It was neat, I guess, that my father pointed out, okay, see if anybody can fill in. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of
fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. I really didn't like that word. I didn't like the scripture before it. Actually I did. But cowardice. You know what a coward is? It's a completely different picture of being fearful. Being fearful is, hey, I'm going to shoot this really big gun. I might drop it. Being fearful is, hey, I'm going to go snow skiing down a double black, in my opinion. Being a coward is, that's a little dog that pees on the carpet when you stomp your foot. And who's writing? It's Yahweh through Christ. But it's Paul writing to who? This is a leadership epistle to Timothy. 1 Timothy is everything's going great. And now Paul, Yahweh through Christ, and Paul goes, don't be a coward, Timothy. You think that made him feel good? He hasn't given you a spirit of coward, so why was Timothy having a cowardly spirit? Possibly. So Yahweh was confronting something. And we'll see why, because it's right over here in chapter 4, 2, and I'll start reading that. Proclaim the word. Take thy position in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage. With all long suffering and teaching. So this was kind of neat because this is what Keith Moore said he was doing. And Keith Moore's got a pretty good ministry. He's got some things he's really good at. A lot of things he's wrong. But he was trying to do this, convince, rebuke, and encourage. He was doing it, but he was really missing it. Because he was trying to keep people from perishing. But then you read the rest. For there, verse 3, what's this say? Esther.
For there will be a season.
A season.
Season.
When the healthful teaching, they will not endure. Okay, so you can keep reading. But.
But according to their covenants.
Covenings.
Covenings will untreat themselves sheep of teacher because they have an itching ear.
Verse 4.
And from the truth indeed their ear will turn away. While unto story they will turn themselves aside.
So it's neat. So why was. So Yahweh was confronting Timothy saying, don't be a coward. Why was Timothy going to possibly be a coward? His congregation was separating, just like at Aaron when Moses went up for 40 days. They're leaving. They don't want it anymore. What do they want? They have itching ears, their own teachings, or get their own teachers, their own seminary. And if you don't believe this, then you're anathematized. Is that it? And so here he was afraid to teach the truth. They're going to turn away. So we should do the same thing with these things. They go, okay, so they're going to reject knowledge. I guess we'll turn John 15, 18.
What chapter?
It's page 111, chapter 15. This would be a good one for parents. Okay, Mel, read verse 18, please.
If the world is hating you, ye are getting to know that me before you it hath hated.
It's a good sign. If your kids hate you, then there's a good chance you're doing what's right. And here's Jesus Christ, and do you think the disciples wanted to hear this? Yeah. What? Okay, all right. And then here, right before this, chapter 15, verse 14. So we go, okay, so we have more knowledge than any other ministry there is on the planet, as far as we know. You go to teleosministries.com, and you can compare scriptures by two or three witnesses. Here's what it says, and people start reading, they go, that's not orthodox according to the doctrines of men. The people that made Aaron their priest and made the golden calf were saying Moses wasn't orthodox. No, you don't understand. We have to have an image. And they're saying to not have an image is not orthodox. You say, okay, you're right, it's not orthodox. According to the scriptures, what is more straight than Yahweh's? Go to Teleos Ministries. There's nothing more orthodox than there is Teleos Ministries. Here's a Hebrew word, here's a Greek word, letting the scriptures. You can say, okay, in verse 14, 15 says, ye are my friends, or you are friends of mine, if ye be doing that which I am commanding you. You're not my friends if you're not doing what I told you to do. In verse 14, verse 15, Elijah, would you read chapter 14, verse 15?
Yes. If ye are loving me, my commandments ye will keep.
I love you, I love you, I love you, and keep my commandments. So all of us, and so even when I'm bringing up all these scriptures, you know, it says, one thing I never wanted to teach the word. I remember my dad doing a teaching once. He said, those that are going to be taught, they're going to be teaching, it's going to be a higher judgment. That is not itching my ear. That's not what I wanted to hear. I'm going to be judged higher than you if I teach. I just keep my mouth shut. You said, here's what Yahweh does. You say, oh, okay, so you're not going to be obedient, Aaron. And then guess what happens? He goes like this, and he goes, and you hear Yahweh looks at Jesus Christ, and Yahweh goes, son, Jesus Christ said, yeah, Dad, what are you doing? He goes, oh, it's got my watch out. Well, I got my watch out, Dad, son. Well, Aaron's refusing to help me. So I'm timing him before he calls. He goes, help, help, help. He goes, how long do you think he's going to... Probably about 3 hours. And he's sitting there, all of a sudden, here's Aaron. La, la, all of a sudden, I need some help. Really? And all of a sudden, I'm going, oh, I can't pray for that. Because I know that I'm not being obedient. All of us have it. And then he finally sits there, okay, fine, I'll do it. And then he goes, okay. And he goes, don't say you love me if you don't do what I say. And if you do love me, do it. And when you're refusing to do something, tick tock. I had somebody reprove me once and they said, oh, you're going to rebel like that. I didn't answer. No, you just wait until your family member gets cancer. You just wait until somebody gets hurt really bad that's in the hospital. And you go back to that master and then you just turn your back on him and now you need his help? I'm going to go, I never thought about that way. So you're saying you're never going to need his help again? I just wasn't thinking that far. And so that person helped me. Because all of us know that it's tick-tock whether you want a buck or a family member sick, very, very, very sick. Then you fall to your knees. It's just a matter of time before you need it. So the idea is don't wait till it's too long. But you don't have to wait till it gets that bad. Romans 6, verse 16. Well, we don't have to go there. What I would like to do, one of the last verses, will be John chapter 6. That's page 100. You see, here's... easy way to remember it, 666, John chapter 6, verse 66, and actually I'll start a little bit before it. Here's Yehoshua Mashiach, and he's talking. I love how that was it, John Shane, how he goes. Here's the disciples, he's campaigning to be king in their mind. They didn't necessarily understand it. All right, he's going to come on the horse and he's going to smite down these Romans or whoever these people are. And they would have read about the lion coming. They didn't understand it. And here it comes. They're like, now here's people going, Hosanna, Hosanna. All these good things are happening. You're feeding a lot of people. And they're going, wow, look at our congregation now. We got to build another parking lot. And then he starts talking to 64. And then he looks at these people. They go, we love you. We adore you. He goes, but there are some from among you who don't believe. For Yehoshua knew from the beginning who were that did not believe and who it would deliver him up. And he went on to say, for this cause have I said unto you, no one can come unto me except they have been given him from the Father. And they're going, what are you talking about? Because of this, many among his disciples went back and no longer with him. And you know what? When they turned away, they go, that's it. They probably blamed him for it, too. Ah, I can't go back to that church. Hey, he's just so legalistic. He's so judgmental. And they start walking away. And the disciples are going, guys. I can imagine Peter going, I'm not talking to him again. Last time he called me Satan. I mean, it's your turn, James. But anyways, they're looking. Verse 67. Yehoshua therefore said unto the 12. Are ye also wishing to withdraw? Which is real important. Does Yehoshua or Jesus Christ have to produce faith? So did he know everything that was going to happen? Was it possible for him to get shocked at times? Yeah. I mean, he couldn't be our princely high priest if he didn't have to produce faith. When these things were happening too, it's not as if he knew exactly what was happening every time, because he had to produce more faith than all of us. You can imagine him going, really? Man, that soon? In verse 67, Yehoshua said unto the 12, are you also wishing to withdraw? I used to read these things, think they're rhetorical questions, because he knew the future. It's just rhetorical questions. He knows what's going to happen anyways. Not necessarily the case. Jehoshua looks at him and goes, are you guys going to withdraw too? Do you think his heart hurt? How does your heart feel when somebody rejects your Lord and your Savior? Or they mock you? Or they say, Jesus has no father. Does that honor him? Now, Jesus is the Father. You're going to go, that's not how you get to the Father, because you can't get to the Father except through the Son. And if you dishonor the Son's Father, it's not a good way. It's not a good way to get in. But then what is Jesus? I lost my page. Would somebody read the next scripture?
Simon Peter answered him, Lord, unto whom shall we go? Declarations of life, age of body, and thou hast. You want me to continue?
Yeah, please.
And we have believed and come to know that thou art the Holy One of Elohim. Or Yahweh. Jesus answered them, did not I make choice of you, the 12? And yet from among you, one is an adversary. Now he was speaking...
That's good right there. The scriptures doesn't say that Yehoshua knew what the response was going to be. How much did that bless Yehoshua Mashiach when Peter opened his mouth again? Where would we go? And what did Peter do? Was he looking at the multitudes? He could have. But he turned and he was watching Yehoshua. He kept his eyes and goes, where are we going to go? He wasn't focusing on who was being called out. He was focusing on Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then here's Jesus Christ going, didn't I pick you guys? Can you imagine the surprise that would have been for Yahweh? For Yahweh to see his son's heart melt? Can you imagine Jesus Christ falling to his knees going, do you have any idea how hard my life is? And then here's the disciples going, where are we going to go? We'll choose you. With the word, with these things, our objective is we can try to blend in with the world, but then we're separating from him. Our objective should be like Peter to say, I want to be more like you. And people reject knowledge. And I believe that, like at the beginning of 2 Timothy, we're supposed to reprove, exhort, convince, rebuke, encourage with all long suffering and teaching. And we should teach to everybody without hesitation and witness to everybody as if they're on the same page. Yahweh this, Yahweh that. Oh, well, that's very unorthodox. Yeah, to the traditions of men, but the traditions of man don't set you free. We should tell them about the wisdom, the power, and even Ruth, who's here, this little girl, she's 2 years old. 3 years ago, we didn't know she was going to exist. Her mom had her tubes tied. She wasn't supposed to be here. Did Shauna really want Ruth to be here?
Yeah.
No? Yahweh said, go back. Shauna wanted to be done with the kids. She said, I'm done. The tubes are tied. They made a decision. And then Yahweh goes, hey, you didn't ask me. And here's Shauna with her old testimony going, wait a minute. So what would Shauna been happy with? Just reject him who you say you love. And here's Jesus Christ talking to Izzy and Shauna going, do you love me? Yeah? Then do what I say. Are you telling me that I'm supposed to have a kid now? And then all of a sudden you can't get away from it. And they did it. That baby was not their idea. It was Yahweh's and Jesus Christ's idea. And how much does this baby bless the family now?
Yeah.
And because they chose to obey. And that's a small thing, but how hard was that for them to go back to get the surgery? To set themselves up for failure again. And here's all these things. You already got all these blessings. Are you going to stop now? But they didn't quit. Because they chose to say, I'm going to please you, not the world. I can imagine a lot of counselors going, you shouldn't do this. But they did it. And that's what we should do, is witness to people, to teach, to share, to everybody to say, here this is. But don't be surprised when they reject it. Actually, if they don't reject the knowledge, we should be surprised. Yeah. Then we go in and they say, do you know this and this and that? And they go, really? Wow. And they just turn around and walk off. And you're like, did that go? Okay. Did you know this and this and that? Did you know everybody's supposed to speak in tongues? They turn around and walk off. Okay, here we go. Did you know that Jesus Christ has a God? Yeah, okay. Then all of a sudden you start finding things out. And then when people turn and they go, I will follow, then we should just rejoice, go, wow. Instead of going, why aren't people following knowledge? In Romans 6:16 says that whatever you're yielding your body to, you're a slave. And so, when we do look at people, whether it's the lust of the flesh, the cares of this world, the lust of their eyes, whatever it is, we look at them, and we should just feel sorry for them. Think about Harriet Tubman that left slavery. And people knew they could have done it, and they chose to stay there. You wouldn't despise them, you just feel really, really sorry for them. But then they're witness to everybody. But I guess,